Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Passion of Jesus. Your King is coming. The Passover feast was about to begin in Jerusalem. Jesus ordered two of his disciples to go into the village, and there they would find a donkey and a foal, and they should take them and bring them to him. And if someone would say, "Hey, what are you going to do with my donkeys?" then they should just simply say, "The Lord needs them." And then they will say, well, then it's okay. And it happened like this. Now, in former days, when a new king in Israel, in Judah, was anointed, he placed himself on a donkey and entered Jerusalem through a certain gate. And it was proclaimed, "This is the new king," and dum da dum da dum da dum. And it was shouted. We have a story when Salomo was introduced like this. "Long live King Solomon." And the prophecies concerning the Messiah, they were just like this. He will come into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a foal of a donkey. So a young donkey which has not been ridden yet. So when Jesus arranged riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the disciples, They became nervous. Wow, is it now? For 3.5 years, oh, what have they tried to persuade him? "Oh, don't you want to become king? You have so many possibilities and talents, and people will follow you. Come on." No. And now it is Jesus. He himself says, "Donkey." And the surprise is in the eyes of the disciples. And the joy, and the hope, and the expectation, and the level of expectation rises every minute. Because of this high expectation, you must know, for centuries, the Jews waited for this moment. For a long time, 600 years, they hadn't had a kingdom. Other great kings had just taken Israel, and the Jews could experience that their money in form of taxes disappears. In those days, towards Rome. And it's not very nice for people. Therefore, they longed for a kingdom of their own. And everybody in Israel, from the little child to the old grandfather and old grandmother, they all longed for the time when the Messiah would make everything new. Now, when Jesus wanted to have a donkey, they hardly could believe it. Is it really the time now? He wants to ride on a donkey? And not just somewhere in Galilee, but riding into Jerusalem and on the Feast of Passover, when thousands of thousands came there, when Jerusalem was packed full of people. It was unbelievable. So because of this joy, of this expectation, the disciples took off their cloaks, put it on the donkey as a kind of saddle, and they put their cloaks on the path, and it was not plastered, this was mud. The cloaks became dirty, of course. No matter. The king is coming. Our king is coming. Oh, it was great. Simply great. Palm trees. Branches were cut and waved and shouted. And because of so many people coming to the Passover feast, this expectation sprang out more and more and more and more, became partakers of this movement. And when the people in Jerusalem heard the shouting and the singing, Hosanna to the Son of David, King of Israel, the people in Jerusalem made their way outside looking what's going on there. You could hear it everywhere. There comes a crowd of people full of excitement. And where there is a crowd, you can be sure that the crowd becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in no time. The more people are somewhere, all run there because all want to know what's going on there. And there must be something great, otherwise there wouldn't be so many people over there. That's the thinking and the praying. Now, two movements. One coming out of Jerusalem, the other coming towards Jerusalem. And they met and combined. And moved onwards. It was great. Hallelujah! Hosanna! It was an excitement. When Jesus on his donkey came down the Mount of Olives, there was a spot, and there, on this very spot, you have just a wonderful view of the temple. Because you're still a bit higher, there's the Kidron Valley, and you look down from the Mount of Olives to the Temple of Jerusalem. Evening sun, golden elements on the temple walls. Glittering effects. It was just gorgeous. Gorgeous. A gorgeous view. And Jesus stopped. And they all stopped and looked down at the temple. It was great. It was really great. This temple, a magnificent building. And then the people heard someone weeping in this moment of joy, expectation, shouting, singing, weeping. Who is going to weep? Jesus. But not just weeping, in intensive weeping. Very, very intensive. Some thought, his emotions. Because we are so many and we all applaud and are for him and want to follow him and you should become king. Maybe he's in a way disturbed. It's too much for him at the moment. No. That was not the reason. Jesus was able to manage such happenings. No. When he looked down at the temple, when he looked down at these buildings, he in a vision saw what would happen about 40 years later on in time. And he saw the Romans coming. He saw the end of Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, walls broken down, temple destroyed. And Jesus wept, seeing into the future. He wept. Now that's an interesting point. Jesus is not the one who says, see, you want to crucify me, and that will be the outcome of all of this. That's the boomerang. No. He weeps. He weeps. And says, why haven't you found out that now is the time for the right decision? Now. And they know. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows the Sanhedrin will be in opposition to him and they are going to kill him. And therefore he weeps because he sees the outcome of all of this. He weeps as parents weep when they see their grown-ups going in into a direction. They know it will be a catastrophe. But the younger ones, they don't see it at this moment. But you see in advance, it will be, it will be a tragedy. Jesus weeps. And all are astonished because they do not see what he sees in advance. This is an important point. Jesus knows everything in advance, in your life too. And from time to time, it's good to have a look how Jesus sees developments. If they're in the right direction or they may be in the wrong direction. And he can warn you, and he will warn you. The problem is, will you listen to his warnings? When he warns you, it's because of his compassion, his love. He isn't one who just lets you go. He wants you to profit of life. He wants you to rise, not to fall. Whenever Jesus tells you something, listen. It's for your advantage. You can be sure about that. It's always for your advantage. Even if it is at the moment, a disadvantage. Because Jesus loves you, and he sees things happen in advance. He is the Son of God. Trust him, and you will be blessed. Amen.